Hi, I'm Alexa.
And I'm Rory, and together we are
the Romies.
We are married.
To each other.
Right. We are a touring musical duo.
And our music has taken us to all kinds of places all around the world and keeps us always on the go.
So we hope you enjoy our stories and adventures while running around working to keep all your plates spinning.
And we hope to facilitate your busy lifestyle and feed your inner travel bug. Many of us are hitting the open road this summer, and road trips are a great way to get a change of scenery while staying physically distanced from others. And it's especially great when you can bring your furry friend or friends along with you. And we want to help you make sure your excursion stays as fun and relaxed as possible by following a few simple road trip tips for traveling with your pets. And I put an S on that because Rory and I have two cats.
Yes, so make sure you check in with your veterinarian to make sure that your cat or dog has the preventive care they need for your destination. Preventative care they need for your destination. Or maybe it's not a cat or a dog. Whatever your pet may be, make sure they have the preventative care they need for your destination and have their medications on hand. It's important not to forget those. Speaking of which, that was our cat spilling a glass of water here in the studio. Thank you, Mozzie. Yeah, we took his bell off so he wouldn't make noise while we're recording, and instead, he knocks over the ukulele into a glass of water and spills it everywhere. That's okay. We do have his medication on hand, so that's good. You know, your vet can even offer advice on how to combat motion sickness if you think that is an issue for your pet. Rescue remedy we've also found to be good.
Yeah, it's good at relaxing your pet.
Mm-hmm. So yesterday is a great example of why you should have your, for example, maybe your flea and tick medicine on hand at all times.
Yeah, so what happened yesterday, Rory?
Well, it was a beautiful day, and I took a walk out through the woods because it was a lovely day, of course. And I came back and was sitting on the porch relaxing and looked down at my leg and saw that it looked like I'd been standing in an ant pile. My foot, my shoe, my leg, all the way up to my knee almost, was just covered in these things crawling all over me like ants do, you know, just covering my leg. But it turns out they weren't ants. They were little tiny ticks. Seed ticks.
Yeah,
seed ticks. So small that if they're not bunched together, you really don't see them. I have freckles and they look like freckles. And I couldn't brush them off my leg because they're all hanging on. So I eventually got a blowtorch and just burned them off. Not really, but that was the recommendation of my brother Ricky. A blowtorch would kill them for sure, he said.
Thanks,
so,
Ricky.
Yeah. No, we ended up getting duct tape and putting it on the leg and, you know, basically ripping all the hair off my legs with the duct tape. But it got most of them off. I took a bath in Clorox because at first I wasn't sure if they were ticks. And then, well, first I took a shower. Then I took a bath in Clorox. Then I took another shower afterwards. And we still had them, so we chased them around my body. Then I took another shower and another bath and another shower.
And then, of course, I had to as well because I'm standing next to him.
Yep, and she had a couple on her, though not the bazillions I had on me.
Thankfully.
And so I have, you know, tick bites up my legs and on my back and my shoulders. And one occasionally shows its face again. Anyway, so we had the medication on hand and we put it on our cats because our vet knew what we needed for the part of the country we were traveling to.
Right, because you can have flea medication for your pets, like if you do a flea collar or some type of drops or, you know, the we do the liquid on the back of the neck thing. And because they knew we were traveling to the south and the east side of the country, they knew that we needed, you know, to add that tick protection. So we had flea and tick medication on hand, and
I'm thinking we should have asked them about human tick medication.
Yeah, I think we should have.
Maybe they have something I could put on the back of my neck that would have helped me in this case.
Poor Rory.
Yes.
So, yeah, we're hoping Lyme's disease is not a thing in, down the road for us. Oh, my goodness. So you definitely want do not want that happening to your pets either. So make sure that they are you've got your flea and tick medicine on them. Now, another way to help your pet travel is to introduce your pet to their carrier in a fun way. So when we first got our cat Ellie and we got our first carrier, when I introduced her to the carrier, I don't know how this happened, but it just happened. We happened to be playing, so she hopped in, and I had her little fun toys that she likes to play with, and we just carried the play into the carrier. And so ever since then, she loves being in her little, we call it her house, she loves being in her little house. And anytime she finishes eating, she runs into her carrier because then she wants to play. She associates her carrier with play. She also associates it with safety, and we've traveled enough and moved enough with her that she knows that we're going to go somewhere, and she is fine with that. So when you are introducing your carrier to your pet, you want to do this obviously as much time beforehand before you travel as possible, and try to get them used to it. Try to let it be a part of their lifestyle a little bit, especially if you're on the go like us, which you're probably listening to our podcast because you're on the go a lot. So get that carrier, have some good smells associated with it, have treats associated with it, and have play associated with it. That's going to really help you the more you travel. Another thing that we do with our pets is we take them on practice trips, and we don't have to do this as much, but we've been home a lot more with COVID, so I will even introduce little trips, and I'll just, if I'm going to run to the store real quick or I'm going to run somewhere that I'm not going to be in the car very long, I bring a cat with me so that they are continuing to be used to travel. So take your pet, put them in their carrier, put them in the car with you. And if you've never traveled with them before, then this is a really great time to just introduce them to the car, see how they're going to respond being in the car with their carrier. And then that'll help you assess prior to a long trip if you need to give them some rescue remedy, if you're going to need to, ask your vets for some medication to sedate them. You might need that depending on the comfort level of your pet. So if they're comfortable with that carrier, that's going to really help, and they're going to feel safe and happy in their carrier wherever you take them. But practice little trips and see if they deal with motion sickness or any other thing like that.
How about this? We all know that buckling up is the law, right? So click it or tick it, right? So make sure you buckle your seatbelt.
Oh, it's that whole tick thing again.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for that. But have you ever considered that maybe it's a good idea to also restrain your pet by buckling them up in a comfy crate or carrier for cats or small dogs, or a doggy seatbelt for larger dogs?
Did you just say donkey?
Doggy, donkey seat.
Okay, I think
if it's a really large
dog,
maybe a donkey seat belt for your larger dogs if you have a Great Dane or something like that, or maybe a pet bear. This rule still applies if you're traveling in an RV, by the way, especially in the rear of the RV. As you turn, it tends to throw things around,
right?
So always put a leash on your dog or your cat and have them in the carrier before opening the car door. Either or both, because you're in new territory and your pet may be eager to take off and explore it.
Right, as soon as you open that door.
Yeah, like Mozzie is one of our cats, is super curious. So we open the door and he might be thinking about just jetting. And you run the risk of them getting lost or hit by a car, which would be really, really lame. So we are careful about that. Also, I know your dog loves to stick his head out the window, but maybe keeping the head and legs inside the vehicle at all times is a good idea. If it's good for humans, maybe it's good for pets because they can easily get struck by flying debris. We've had our cars messed up and dented by things in the highway flying and hitting the car, right? They break your windshield. Imagine if that's your dog's head that it strikes. Nah, really, that would be really bad, right? Best idea in the world all the time, even though your dog loves it. Just saying.
Right. So what you're saying is when it's good for humans to keep their heads and hands inside the vehicle,
it's probably also good for your companion pets. Yeah. And it's even possible that they could jump out the window, if they get excited enough. Cats have been known to dart out car windows.
Thankfully, we haven't experienced that, but we have had them try to dart out the door. When we travel with our cats, they're so used to traveling with us that we do allow them to be loose while we're while we're traveling with them. And so anytime we stop, we make sure that they are secure in their carrier before we even open any doors.
Yeah,
so,
our cats have a little routine of where they like to go when we're traveling.
Right, right. And where they go within the car.
Yeah, because they're such so accustomed to it now.
Right. And I also am very strategic with how we pack the car. And I give them, cats love looking out the windows, and dogs probably do as well. So we will situate the suitcases and their carriers in such a way that they're going to feel as comfortable as possible and have different options.
They can climb on a suitcase and look out the window.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about this in a second, but we also keep our cat litter in there. So we have to arrange the car where they can get to it. Another tip is to never leave your pet alone in the car, and especially in the summer. And that's when most of us are traveling, is in the summer. So the interior temperature can really rise to a dangerous level quickly and can cause heat stroke and be very dangerous for your pet. So you always want to make sure that you have plenty of water. We have those collapsible bowls, and we'll put some Amazon links in our show notes so you guys can check out some of the things that we use when we're traveling. But we have these collapsible bowls that we can fill with water and just keep them hydrated during the trip. That is also going to help with heat. And so what we do is, if one of us can stay in the car, like if we've got to hop out and run to the toilet, one of us might stay in the car, the other might, you know, stay with the cats while we do that. Or we did a carry out, you know, if there's two of you traveling with your pet, then one of you can let the dog out and walk around while the other is running into, if it's a safe place.
On a leash.
Right, on a leash. And just kind of have a little pit stop while one is running into the restroom, and then you guys can switch duties.
She always has to switch the duty in the cat box. Just saying.
Right. That is my job for sure. If you are traveling alone and you have to leave your pet in the car for a very short period of time, make sure you're in a shaded area. Make sure you have cracked the windows and that you are keeping an eye on your pet. But you definitely want to avoid that at all costs.
Especially in the summertime. So to cap off what she said, if you have to leave your pet or your mother-in-law in the car in the summertime, it's best not to do that. But if she is in the car, then maybe crack the windows for her and leave her a little cup of water to drink. Your pets as well. So not just your mother-in-law. So make regular pit stops, right? Take your dog out for a walk. Maybe not your cats so much. Ours aren't that great at it. They get more scared by the vehicles and stuff. So also you might consider lining your cat's carrier with potty pads in case they, you know, a little fussy about using the litter box in the car. I know that when our cats get nervous, sometimes they don't want to eat. They're nervous about using the litter box even. It's really interesting. So anything you can do to help them in that way is a good idea.
Yeah. We do keep the litter box available, and they do use it while we're driving down the road. And we've had a couple times where it's like, oh, we got to stop and empty that because it's stinking up the car or whatever.
Speaking of which, remember to bring waste bags with you for your dog.
Yeah.
In case you're in a place where they say you got to pick the duty up in the bag, which I do not do because that's just gross. I don't have a dog and have to do it. So thank you.
All right. So another tip is to keep your identification up to date. So including your collars and tags.
This would be your pet ID, not your collar and tags. But yeah.
Although it is important to have your...
You keep your ID up to
your
date.
Your real ID.
Yes.
Y'all have your real ID. We've talked about that in previous episodes.
We have real IDs for our cats now.
Your license plates,
not
registrations,
really.
Everything. Okay.
Just joking.
So have, if you have your pet microchipped, then make sure that you've got all of that updated information in their database. And we also use bright collars on our kitties. So Mozzie, he is a like almost solid black cat. He's got little pieces of white on him, but he is mostly black. So
he disappears pretty quickly in the dark.
Yeah, I get a reflective collars, and we also keep him on his harness. When we walk him, not while we're traveling, but when we take him on hikes or we're walking him, we keep him in a harness. And anytime he's outside, he associates that harness with being outside. And the harness is around his neck and underneath his little armpits, however you call that on a cat.
Around his belly? It's a body harness?
Well, it's not on his belly. It's underneath
his
shoulders.
That the leash connects to.
Yeah. And we are more able, if he gets in a precarious situation or if he starts to run off or something like that, it's much easier to grab him, find him, etc. when he's wearing that harness. So while we're traveling, we keep that harness on him in case there is some type of mishap and he tries to jump out the car.
I've had to grab the harness, whereas I couldn't have gotten his fur, but I was able to hook my finger in a harness and keep him from jumping out the door before and also running under other vehicles. So that's good to have. Yes. Just a little tip there.
And we don't have one on Ellie because we know her personality and, you know, animals are always going to react different in different situations, but you a lot of times you'll know the character of your pet and we don't need to do that for her. That's not something we have to worry about with Ellie.
Another tip. Call ahead to your final destination and any stopovers, including campgrounds and hotels, to double check that they're open and accepting travelers from other counties, first of all, which would be you, from other states and counties. They're going to be open. And to verify their pet policy and social distancing rules. If you stay in a hotel, make sure you call ahead to see that they have enough pet-friendly rooms available. Keep your pet in the bathroom. This has been great for us.
It's a little thing we do.
In their carrier or in the bathroom and or maybe both until all your bags are in the room. So our cats, they're stir crazy by the time we get there. So we put them in the bathroom, close the door. We're able to load all our stuff into the room because we usually have a bunch of stuff when we're traveling.
Mm-hmm. Instruments and all that stuff in addition to suitcases. Mm-hmm. So
we put them in there while we're loading into the room. Some hotels request your pet. That was kind of funny. Request just sounds like a funny word all of a sudden. Some hotels request that your pet stay in their carrier the entire time that they're in the hotel room. We have not found that to be practical for us because cats have to go to the litter box, first of all, and they have to eat and drink and all that. But here's a good one. We've seen cats in hotel rooms disappear. Nowhere to be found. Not ours, but it happened to some friends of ours when they were on a trip.
It did happen with Rammy one time.
One time? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we didn't leave her. This story I'm going to tell is extra interesting. Our friends couldn't find their cat anywhere, figured it had run off, and they had to leave. They looked for hours. Them and their children, they had to leave without their cat.
And they're moving across country.
Yes. And so it turns out, and so they called us and went to the hotel to look for the kitty. It turns out their cat had crawled under the bed to hide, and they weren't able to find them because around the bottom of the bed in hotel rooms, they have that solid border. So humans can't get there, but sometimes there's a small gap in the back that cats can squeeze into.
Mm-hmm. Or they can find little hiding places. They're pretty crafty like that.
Totally. And the cat was silent, wouldn't come when they called. So anyhow, they lost their cat, but we rescued the cat and they were able to come pick it up again later. But that was kind of sad. They were not happy to have to leave there. Cat behind, thinking they had lost it. So although they were able to retrieve them later, not a pleasant experience. So a caller with the bell, in that case, like we do with Mozzie, may help you find your pet more easily. Should something like that happen?
Yeah. Right? So we have reflective collars and collars with bells, their identification as well, all on that collar.
Yep. If your cat's going to be out and about in the room, I always look at the bottom of the bed to see. Can they get under the bed, right? Because I want to know now. So that's a good idea to check that. We have that reflective collar and bell and an ID all on Mozzie. On Ellie, we have a collar and her ID.
And her collar has reflective fluorescent. So at night, you can see her collar as
well. Yeah, we've also found the bell on Mozzie to be helpful so you know where he is. Cats are real silent sidlers, you know what I'm saying? And you don't realize they're under your feet, but with Mozzie's bell, we hear him coming. So when we stay with family and stuff, and our parents, you know, they're not as young as we are, so we don't
need them. And they're not used to having pets underfoot either.
No, that's right. So perhaps the bell will be a good warning for them to not trip over the cats once they've been sidled.
Yeah, it's something courteous to, if you're staying with family, something courteous for them as well.
Or maybe an air horn that goes off when a proximity warning. Whoa! That might be a good idea.
People were asleep, you just woke them up.
Just woke them up. If you're drowsy on your drive, know you're awake.
We hope this has helped, and we hope you can enjoy a summer full of fun road trips, safe road trips, social distance road trips, and...
Or perhaps physical distance road trips, but stay socially close to people.
Yes, yes. And your furry friends. We hope we've inspired you this episode.
So join us next time.
Please subscribe to, rate, and share our podcast with your friends.
Or, you know, whomever.
And please like and follow us on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook.
We're also on Twitter. And on all social platforms, we are at The Roamies.
That's
T-H-E-R-O-A-M-I-E-S. And our main hub is our website
at www.theroamies.com.
That's right. That's
T-H-E-R-O-A-M-I-E-S.com. We'll be there until next time.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Bye.